Welcome to the Dumb Weebs Podcast. I am VLord GTZ, and with me today I have my fellow weebs. First up, we have Alien.
With a different mic this time.
A really good mic.
The same as his.
Yeah. Go Road Bros. But also with a good mic, we have J-Mac.
I'm not here. I don't know what you're talking about.
I mean, you were unmurdered because apparently...
Oh, yeah, that's right. So, yeah, the lore of the podcast deepens because I was murdered again off screen.
Yeah, what do you have to say for yourself, killer enthusiast laser kid?
It was an accident, I swear, and I used the Dragon Balls to bring him back right after. I totally didn't mean to kill him. I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm not sure how I feel about this. What do you think?
We'll have to ask our local specialist.
Yeah, the master of murder, Allison.
I apologize. One of my creations just, like, got loose and accidentally killed J-Mac. I didn't mean for that to happen. I was originally playing this and maybe on V-Lord or Alien, but J-Mac got caught in the crossfire.
What did I do? I haven't even been here for, like, the past...
Yeah, that's because Allison murdered you, Alien. But yes, today we are here to not talk about murder. We are here to talk about a... anime that we all like quite a bit.
Oh boy, we all talking about an anime. That's like the whole fucking point of this podcast.
Yes, yes. Clearly. I didn't know we were an anime podcast. I thought we talked about toilet
Shit.
Paper.
Ah yes, toilet paper. The double ply is the best, you know.
See, I used to think double ply was the best. But then I tried triple ply.
This conversation feels like it belongs in the show we're discussing.
It kind of does.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
because
we
are reviewing
fucking
belt.
Now, one for a toilet paper every time you use the bathroom.
But yeah, today we're talking about Nishijo.
AKA one of the greatest anime of the past decade.
It is the most wholesome anime I've seen in a long time.
It is amazing.
It is very good. Yeah, so for those who don't know, Nishijo is an anime adaptation of a 2006 manga by Keiichi Adoi, and the anime was done by Kyoto Animation, KyoAni, a very...
Based.
Yeah, very based and high-regarded studio. They're amazing. And directed by Tatsuya Ishihara, another very talented director. And yeah, it's really good and really well-beloved in the anime community.
Even though it only had one season.
Yeah, apparently it did not do that great in Japan. Unfortunately.
Because they have
dang it, Japan, stop disvaluing great anime. Ah!
What the fuck was that sound?
What, me or the background noise?
I think it was you, Laser.
I mean, I went,
No, I heard, like, this, like, weird, like, clicking, beeping... scream, like very short scream from hell.
Oh, I think that might have been his, like a signal going
not on me
because I heard it too.
That
yeah, it might have been a signal issue. Yeah. Anyway,
well, it adds to the effect
exactly.
Laser yes. Broke the sound wave barrier on the Discord.
Laser is too powerful to be contained in a single podcast.
It's true.
How do we extend the power?
Laser Kid screamed so loud that he sent a planet-busting laser from his
mouth. He pierced the heavens with his loud...
Like Yuko.
Yeah.
From Nichijou.
Exactly.
Roro, fight the power.
But before we kind of get into the nitty-gritty with Nichijou, I was kind of curious how each of us got into the series. So, Alien, do you want to go first?
Okay. Back in the day, I used to be really big into, like, anime Facebook meme pages. Like, I used to admin, like, a couple of them. And I kept seeing all these memes about Nichijou. I had no idea what it was about. But I just saw, like, a whole bunch of memes around when it came out. So I ended up watching the whole thing on Crunchyroll like about a year later, and I'm just like, holy shit, this is amazing. And then I read that there was no season two, and I'm just like, what the hell? And that was basically it.
Hmm. That sounds like a very painful experience. Laser and J-Mac, indeed. I know you guys watched the show together, correct? So how did you both get into it?
I blame Alien 100% because of him. I started watching it on Funimation. Oh, thank you. Honestly, I very much enjoyed it. And then, like, I want to say 3 or 4 episodes in, I'm like, J-Mac, you got to see this shit. And then we started watching it together, and we just kind of watched most of it together.
It was such a good show. I loved it so much.
Oh, gosh. We would end all of our anime nights.
We called it Wholesome the Anime.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, this definitely seems like the type of show that would be really fun to watch with, like, friends.
Oh, it was.
Yeah.
If I remember right, Lord, when you came and visited, I actually showed you and a bunch of my other friends an episode just because.
Yes, that's right. I don't remember what exact episode it was, but...
Oh, gosh, I don't remember either, but I remember we did because you hadn't seen the dub, and I'm like, we're doing this, and it was... Everyone had fun with it.
That was my first experience with the dub, and yeah, it was really good. Allison, how did you get into Nishijou?
Honestly, I just saw it everywhere, but I never really had any motivation to, like, actually watch it. And then you guys were like, oh, hey, let's do this for this podcast thing, and I'm like, alright, I'll do this. And, like, I just had it on when I was doing stuff for classes when they were still running, which was, like, last year. And, also, side note, I've been threatening to kick B-Lord's ass because he's been delaying this for the past 3 months now.
Oh my god, yes.
It's not my fault, I swear. Even though it's totally like, my fault.
LK and I even finished the last episode in time for the original airing date, or the original recording date of the podcast.
Okay, yep. Yeah, in my defense, I have been terribly busy, and I'm also terrible at watching anime now.
In my defense, I was unsupervised.
But yeah, I guess I should talk about how I got into Nishijou. So like Allison, I had seen Nishijou around quite a lot. I mean, I think a lot of the people in like me and Allison circles are big fans of the show. So even before I got a dub, like I know a lot of people that are really kind of just like enthusiastic and gung-ho about it. And I even bought like the entire English release of the manga. But in usual fashion, I actually have not read a single volume of it, even though I own the entire thing.
Well, you can see the actual...
You motherfucker.
Oh, and this gets even worse. I bought the original sub-only Funimation Blu-ray and never watched it.
And didn't watch it. Yeah, fucking course.
Yeah, and then I think, like, when I was in college, I watched maybe, like, 2 episodes of, like, an anime club or something. I was like, okay, this is good. I'll go back to it eventually. And then I never did.
I will admit.
And then V-Lord was murdered by Alien.
Yes, apparently. Well,
shotgun with malicious intent.
Yeah, it's funny, too, because I think probably 2 years ago at this point, I reviewed a volume of Keiichi Arai's follow-up to Nishijou, City, which takes place in like the same universe as Nishijou. And I liked that a lot. But I was like, huh, maybe I should get back to Nishijou at some point. So
casually just watching the sequel first.
I mean, it's not really a sequel. It's kind of like a...
I get it. Same universe, but it's not really the same story.
Yeah, same universe, different characters. Same type of structure and humor, though. Like, if you enjoy Nishijou, I highly recommend going and reading City. It is licensed by Vertical, and it's a very good release.
I will admit the humor in this kind of, like, does a good balance between being comedically loud, but not in the annoying way.
Yeah.
Like, it could...
It kind of reminds...
I will have to agree.
It kind of reminds me of Azumanga Daioh in a way, which,
yes.
It kind of matches up the fact that, like, Arai actually was one of the artists for, I believe, one of the... anthology collections for Azumanga Daioh's anniversary.
And now I need to watch more Azumanga Daioh.
Azumanga Daioh is really good.
Yes, you fucking do.
I love Azumanga
Daioh. I mean, I own it,
so. You fucking do.
J-Mac, we have a new show to watch.
Future Azumanga Daioh episode. Calling it now. Because, yeah, you have to see Azumanga Daioh.
I'll watch it mostly for this, but, like, I looked at the art and it looks okay. It just doesn't look like my style at all.
I think you'd like it. It has one character that has a slightly murderous humor.
All right. That has me interested.
We have found the way to interest Meowth into everything. Just mention murderous intent.
We've unlocked the puzzle of Meowth.
So, yes. Getting a little bit back on track to the Nichijou train. One of the funny things about it is, like, I can never remember any of the characters' names except for, oh, fuck.
Okay, thank God. I'm not the only one.
I know Sakamoto. I know Sakamoto.
I remember Sakamoto, too. Yeah. And I think that's because, like, it has so many characters, and, like, you recognize them more off the character designs rather than their names.
Right.
Hasuke and Shinonome.
Their designs or their traits.
Yes. Yeah, I mean,
Hasuke and Shinonome, like, that whole family, just, they are the fucking best.
Yeah, Hakase is Shinonome easy because, like, Hakase is literally just Japanese, professor. But, like, yeah. I kept forgetting Shinonome's name.
Shinonome.
Even though, like, she's, like, probably, like, one of the most prominent
characters.
She
is the most adorable character. Oh, she gets the happiest fucking ending in the fucking world. Yes. And just, oh my god.
The feels in over 9,000 every time she's going through something.
Oh.
I know, it's so precious. Yeah. The robot.
The girl with the key on her back who always wanted it off.
No, it's been like 3 months where I kind of just forgot everything, so I'm kind of lost.
Yeah, I mean, I think Nano is definitely one of my favorite parts of the show, or at least her dynamic with Hakase.
Oh, and then when she actually finally gets to go to school, and then, like, she's so worried that everyone's going to find out that she's a robot, and...
That was so great.
And nobody really cares. The only person who cares is an idiot. And that's
the keeps coming up with, like, all these harebrained schemes to trap her and ends up trapping everyone else and herself instead.
Besides that, I think my other favorite stuff is the harebrained daydreams of, I think her name is Mio. That's right. I love the daydreams. Like, that one, there was an episode that we were watching. It's like, are we watching the right show? Did I click the right thing? Did Funimation screw up? What is going on?
Sieged the airship?
Oh, yeah. Yes. That episode weirded me out so much. I was like, wait, what just happened? Is this like a side story or something?
It was a spaceship.
Yeah.
And I'm like, did I accidentally click on Star Blazers? What's going on?
Yeah, no, the show... It's funny. It's wild, yet it follows, like, and it's very much sketch comedy, but it still somehow it feels like it has a sense of continuity to it at the same time.
Yeah, that's one thing that I've kind of noticed about, like, the little bit I've experienced of Aoi's work. So at this point, they're very good at having these kind of large casts, and kind of focusing on these, like, little small moments piece by piece. But there's still, like, a little bit of a thread of narrative there that progresses. Like, we see that with, like, Hakase and Nano, where, like, yeah, there's all these, like, little comedy bits, and it seems like everything is sticking to a status quo, but there is a little bit of progression, and, like, yeah, we see, like, Hakase letting Nano, like, go to school, and, like, being kind of more willing to let her do stuff, and it's, like, those little moments that really kind of make it just more than just a kind of gag style comedy.
Yeah,
I feel like they had more stuff after that. Like, it felt like Professor Girl was just like, "Oh, hey, I'll let you go to school," and then all of a sudden the show just, like, ends, and I'm like, "Well, that was a waste of time."
I mean, there is still, like,
the show went on for several more episodes after she was allowed to go to school, and I actually really liked the dynamic there. But one of the things, like, I loved that it also just kind of mocked, like, kind of parodied a lot of like other anime styles, like with the Go Soccer Club.
Oh, I love that so much.
That was beautiful.
That even had like a Haikyuu-esque scene in it, in its progression.
Yes,
the Go Soccer Club was so dumb but amazing.
Oh, absolutely!
Wait, you mean it's a real game? What? And then the fact that someone was just able to follow along with the rules, and the other person was just like, "What is happening?"
The guy who started it, who wanted an excuse to just screw around after school. No, it turns out it's like a competitive
game. I was the MVP in my old school.
Or the episode where, like, see, that the thing is, like, you'll never, like, you, the story as a whole isn't as memorable as just the individual bits. So, like, there's that continuity that I talked about, but also you will still just remember specific, like, sketches. Like one of the funniest ones that I don't know why it was so funny to me, but there was this sketch where, one of the three girls was taking this sculpture that she made to school, and then she trips and the sculpture gets smashed, and then everything just gets progressively worse.
Is that the one?
They're
with
like
the
outside
shrine?
The shrine, and like they collapse. Something collapses, and then it just starts raining, and just everything keeps going worse and worse and worse. And it had me rolling on the floor.
Yeah, that one. I remember that one being a big one for you, and I laughed my ass off too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many like great moments like that. Like the one I really love is when I think Mio and one of the other girls are arguing because I think Mio got yakisoba for her instead of yakisoba.
Yes.
And, oh gosh, I do remember that one.
And like they get into this argument that just ends up like them complimenting each other, and neither of them want to take the compliment.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I do kind of understand where Allison's coming from, though, where it kind of does just kind of end. I do think the final episode does have some good, like, wrap-up points, but you can definitely tell, like, yeah, there was more story after this.
Oh, yeah, no, that's for sure. And it definitely, I would love to see another season if they would do it.
Yeah, I was looking it up just to double-check. And the anime ends around the beginning of volume 7. So there's 3 volumes of material, like, following that.
They could have just wrapped it up in, like, a couple of OVAs or a movie or something, but they
didn't. Yeah, but it wasn't particularly successful. So that's probably why they didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really too bad.
There wasn't enough waifus that people wanted to buy hug pillows of, I guess.
Oof.
Maybe, unfortunately.
I'd love to argue with you, but you're not probably not wrong.
And it really sucks too, because like you could tell KyoAni went balls out on that show, especially like animation wise.
Like KyoAni, and then it's just like KyoAni always does an amazing job on their shows, but there's just so much creativity here that even in like your best KyoAni show, you don't necessarily see like the changes in style, the different types of animation. It's a really nice hodgepodge of creativity.
It's like they did their Mob Psycho 100, but it was 10 years ago or something.
Honestly, that's a good way of putting it.
Yeah, 2011. And it's crazy that I can say that show came out in 2011 because holy shit, it still holds up.
Yeah, it still looks
better than like a lot of stuff I've seen recently.
Like if you had showed someone to this without telling them the year, I don't think they'd be able to figure out that like, hey, this is a decade old.
Well, and I mean, Funimation was able to get a dub release out like a couple of years ago, no problem. So obviously, people didn't even notice.
It'd be really hard to tell.
I knew because I remember when Bandai licensed it, and then Bandai died. That was the unfortunate story for it.
I was mad about that for so long until Funimation rescued it.
It's pretty wild how it got a dub, and despite it being like super old, because they usually don't go back and dub things that are more than 5 years old these days.
I think they did it because it depends. Sub-only Blu-ray did so well.
Oh. I guess that makes sense. I'm still...
Yeah, because that was like the first official release of Nichijou in America.
I'm still salty Aniplex didn't dub Silver Spoon.
Same!
Maybe one day, I mean, I didn't bring it up to you guys, but like, apparently a few of the copyrights on those Aniplex shows have now a Funimation copyright on them. Including a...
Yeah, I saw something about like that
Magi
somewhere.
And Blue Exorcist. For instance.
Yeah, Magi and Blue Exorcist, let's go!
Yeah, they already got dubs, though.
Yeah, but we could get, like,
Blu-rays. Yeah, but we could get affordable releases now.
Yeah, but the way you said it, I thought you meant, like, oh, like, they're gonna pay Funimation to dub them. And I'm like,
I mean, it could happen down the line, because, like, all the Aniplex shows are now getting dubbed by Funimation. Aside from the ones that are using Bang Zoom casts already.
If they did, like, a new season, it would probably be a Funimation dub, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, let's hope it gets a third season or movie, V Lord, because, like, OMG. I need that conclusion in animated form, man.
One can hope.
I'm right there with you.
But yeah, I mean, like, it's hard for me to think of specific things to talk about Nichijou, because, like, it really is kind of just all these, like, fun little moments packed into one.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's the fun moments we remember would be the best thing to talk about. I think that's basically what we've been doing.
I like that scene with the kitty and any scene with the doggos. And that scene with the guy MMA wrestling a deer.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, that the principal wrestling a deer was freaking genius.
That was
genius.
So awesome.
That was a scene that's sold like me on the show because it was on a preview.
That hooked everybody. Yeah, that's the part of the show that hooks everybody. Just this old-ass dude wrestling a deer, and it's just like, what?
Yeah.
I didn't think I was so early, because like everyone showed it everywhere. I'm just like, oh, this must be like a really late-in-the-show thing, and then it's just like episode 3 or 4. I'm like, oh, this is where it happens.
I love how Yuko just keeps it secret, because like, no, we need to keep the honor of the fight that they worked so hard on.
Yeah, the main trio are interesting to watch. We have what I like to call the dumb one, the
Nico.
Yeah, the introverted one, and the creative one.
And Mio.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like Yuko.
Trying to remember the names is difficult for me, but
like Yuko very much reminds me of Tomo from Azumanga Daioh.
Yeah, I got that same feeling. They're like the same kind of brand of hyperactive stupid.
Exactly.
Her freakouts were some of the best scenes, I have to admit. Just like her losing her mind over whatever it was.
I like when probably my favorite Yuko freakout is when she and Mai are together and Mai is like acting shy and Yuko's thinking that, oh shit, does she have feelings for me? And then Mai's just like, it was a joke. And then she just fucking backbends herself all the way, just screaming random words.
Oh man, that was so great.
That was pretty great, funny.
It's just wonderful. I don't know.
Oh yeah, one question I have. Which opening do you prefer, the first one or the second one?
I like the first one and the first
The first one for the song, the second one for the visuals.
Okay, yeah. Ailee and I are in the same wavelength.
I agree.
I have to agree on that, too.
Bum, 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 bum.
I kind of like the
first
like
opening is iconic.
Oh, yeah.
Did the ED change, or was it the same the whole time? I forget.
I think it changed.
It changes.
I like the first.
It changes, like, every episode, I think.
Does it? Or,
like, in... Well, and see, the first half is the same opening, but then in the second half, it gets, like, a different song every time,
and
I think.
The first one, though, does get remixed a few times, though.
I meant, like, the song, though. Like, did the actual song get
changed? Oh, yeah, the performance changes. I remember that.
No, I meant, like, the song.
I like the second ending better, I can tell you that. The song for the second ending is the one I liked better.
I like the first ending a little more.
Yeah, I prefer the first ending.
It felt more like an end credits song, I guess.
That's fair. I just kind of got... I like the feel of the second one a little bit better, but I guess that's just me.
Makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, were there any other things that stood out to folks?
The animal designs are good.
Yes.
I want to take a second to just say
the fucking crow just being a triangle.
Yes.
When it steals Sakamoto's scarf.
I do want to take a moment to say the dub is top tier shit.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Yeah, like, it really doesn't stray that much from the Japanese. Sorry, I choked on my own water for some reason.
Good job.
Let me restart that. Yeah, I definitely agree. Like, I think the dub didn't stray too much from the original Japanese script, but I definitely like the little, like, minor changes in the adaptation that they made to kind of spice up the dialogue, which was really nice.
To be Lord Oliver and his trachea. Sorry.
Like, I was honestly wondering if they could even, like, pull out a dub. Because that was, like, one of the things I was worried about. And I was like, how would they even do this? Or how would they do this well? And then I watched it, and I'm just like, holy shit, this is better than I imagined.
I mean, to me, that kind of reminds me of, like, Akira Toriyama's, like, surprise that Dr. Slump worked or was so actually well received in the U.S.
Because he was
like, I felt like a lot of the jokes I wrote would not translate well to English.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things, like, after talking to, like, translators and adapters, like, It's very much one of those things that comedy can be transferred into another language. It just takes time and effort. And if that time and effort is not put in, then that's when we get a train wreck. But in the case of Nishijou, it's very clear that, like, they knew there was an avid fan base behind it, and people, if, like, they're gonna dub it, they have to dub it well, or else there would be a riot. So that effort was put in.
Yeah. It definitely shows.
I mean, when Gintama got a dub, even the hardcore Gintama voice actor fans liked it. So it's
love that dub. At least one for that part. I don't like
the dub. About the TV Tokyo dub, Laser. It's not real. It can't hurt us.
I wish that were true.
I think that dub was, like, made in for Chinese audiences or, like, Singapore audiences.
It was, like, produced for, like, Asian language audiences. It was dubbed in, like, Miami, though.
Oh, that's weird.
Anyway, Nishijou was really fun. I think we covered most of my favorite moments, if not all of them, but just the fact that it could jump scene to scene, character to character, and even if you don't remember their names, when you see them, you remember where they were and where it goes. Even that idiot who rides on a goat and a girl who keeps shooting him with rockets, that was fun to watch,
too. Oh, God,
too.
I love those two so much. Like, right? She's the ultimate tsundere.
She is!
Yeah, actually, back in the day, the fan base had a nickname for her, and it was Gundere.
Yes, that's perfect.
That is perfect.
Yeah.
Goatman was very fancy.
That guy was just extra for no reason, and it was perfect.
I thought he was a prince. I don't know if that was confirmed.
He claimed to be... Actually, no, he didn't claim to be on it.
He was the head of a farmer's family.
Yes.
Almost a prince.
Then. Apparently.
But yeah, Sasahara and Misato are absolutely amazing.
Oh, yeah.
I love how the, like, head of the Go soccer club was, like, loaded, and it's just, like, in a random episode, he comes in a helicopter.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very extra.
And then, of course, like, the random guy with the mohawk, the big-ass mohawk, Nakanojo.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah,
and, like,
guy.
The teacher asks, like, him at one point, like, hey, can you, like, you put your hair normal? And he's like, my hair doesn't grow anywhere else.
Yeah. I remember one time I forget what it was, but, like, with the guidance counselor lady, right?
Yes, that's what I'm thinking of.
Like, someone just, like, randomly handed her waffles, and I'm like, wait, what the... That was, like, my first introduction to the... early introduction to the show. I'm like, what the fuck just happened? Suddenly waffles.
Suddenly waffles.
And only LK can understand why I found that funny.
Oh, I understand. Uh-oh. I do.
Yeah, the other thing...
Like, when I wrote my review for this for Toonami Faithful, like, the best way I could describe the show, I said there's no way to not make this series sound like a 12-year-old's crazy fan fiction.
Honestly, yeah. Especially with how fast-paced it is. Like, so much happens in, like, a 24-minute time span. It even splices in scenes from another Keiichi Arui manga. Like Helvetica Standard or whatever.
Helvetica Standard.
A completely different manga by the creator. It's just spliced in there.
I get Teen Girl Squad vibes from it. What can I tell you?
I still
think the absolute best one of those is the one with the two girls in the classroom, and it's just like, tell me who you like. It's like, I don't wanna. If you do, I'll give you 1,000,000 yen. Okay, I like this guy. Hey, she likes this guy. Bam, throw some money on the table.
That's so awesome.
That one kills me every time. Like, just the part where she just slams all the money on the table at once.
I mean, if you gotta get someone to say something, you gotta put up or shut up, you know?
I guess so. Yeah.
I mean, I was saying, it's like, wow, she's a terrible friend, but at least she paid.
Yeah, I mean, she was a person of her word.
Indeed. Yep.
Also, speaking of like the little extra segments, those in the second half, those love like segments were just like everything's just wholesome as hell. It turns it up to 11, and I'm just like, oh my god, my heart every single time.
Yeah, speaking of segments, the other one I like is like the one where Mio and everyone are talking about things that they like that are cool. And it would be like the most random things. Like, just one of them is just like a like energetic upperclassman, and I'm like, wait, what? Okay, cool.
Bouncy balls, super bikes.
God, this show is so good.
Yeah, it's just
direction. Like, the direction is what gets me for that show, because it's just so out there for a lot of these scenes, and it's just so unique. Like one of my favorite scenes in the entire show from a directorial standpoint is the one where they're trying to build the house of cards, and like the whole thing is just silent and it's just music, and it still manages to be this super like nerve-wracking intense scene.
Yeah.
And then the fucking light just falls on top of the whole thing at the end.
Yeah. Or like the episodes where they're like trying to make the manga.
Oh gosh. Oh, yeah. That one was just nerve-wracking. It's just like, you can do it, you can do it, you can't do it.
And then she spills ink all over the fucking page.
Oh,
like,
that's painful.
That hurt. Like, oh, it hurt to watch that. I was just like, ow.
Yeah.
Yes.
I also liked how the quiet one was, like, drawing horny art and the main girl was getting pissed off at her. That made me laugh.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mio's a fucking Fujoshi.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely have to echo Alien on the direction. Because I feel like Nichijo would have still been a good show if it had solely just, like, stuck to the comedy and not maybe went all out on the animation. But the fact that, like, it has really good direction, really good animation, and then a really good comedy just makes it a very good, like, harmonious experience in a way.
I think that's fair.
Because especially since, like, when you think about it, most comedy anime do not get a show of this caliber. Like, when you think of, like, say, like, Saiki Kusuo, like, Saiki is not an animation marvel. It's is very good based on the humor of its jokes.
Yes.
But Nichijou has that, and then all these things on top of it.
Oh, absolutely.
I still can't believe that one of the best animated scenes in the entire history of anime is just two girls trying to break a fucking pumpkin.
That was beautiful.
Or saving the food before it falls to the floor.
God, that scene is amazing.
Or that scene where the doggy bit that girl and she screamed so loud that she fired a laser into the sky.
Yep, yep. I remember that one too.
Yes.
Or Mio chasing Yuko because Yuko had her manga doujinshi pages.
Yes. I think that was like episode 2 or something. Like, it was such a great scene.
Yeah. Just the animation works so well with the type of comedy that they used, and it's just, it's fantastic.
Like, they was in the studio like, how crazy should we make this animation? Yes.
And it works, and I actually think it fits the comedic tone because it's balls to the walls animation with balls to the walls jokes, and it just works.
I also like how all the humor is in just like, oh, look, someone saw someone all naked. Like, you would show this to different audiences and not worry about random boobs and ass. If that makes sense at all.
Yeah, it's like they just said, we're going to make anything and everything funny in this show, and we don't care.
I could put this on the TV and not worry if someone walks by and sees, like, anything random and gross.
Unless you get to those 1 split seconds of where they show what Mio's drawing.
Oh, yeah.
And that's like, those were the best.
Those are pretty good.
I like the way she thinks.
For sure.
Of course. Also, one thing I found really like unique about Nichijou was the music. Because like the music, for a show with such crazy animation, you'd think the music would be like this super crazy stuff, but it all sounds like Looney Tunes type stuff. Like, it's very like classic cartoony style.
And some of also there's like some of it's just very low key and very like just chill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it fits the name of the show because it's supposed to be a quote unquote ordinary life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's really weird. Like, when you sit back and think about it, Nichijou is this mismatch of 30 trillion different ideas that should not work together, but it does. And it works in the most spectacular way possible.
Who does the music on it anyways? They did a good job.
They did.
It was Yuji Nomi.
They do good work.
Yeah, I mean, let's see. What else did they do?
I feel like before.
Okay, they did Whisper of the Heart. What the hell?
Wow.
Yeah, so they,
And the Cat Returns.
They used to work on Ghibli anime. Damn.
You see, this is the stuff you don't know about when you don't look up composer names.
Apparently. Oh, they're also doing the music for Love Me, Love Me Not's movie. God, now I'm even more excited for that movie.
I think that's probably the best thing we could say about the whole show. It's just everything works well in concert with itself to make an amazing experience.
Yeah.
11 out of 10. Great. One of the greatest anime of all time. You should watch it.
100%. Absolutely.
Yeah, just be prepared for the ending.
Yeah, I mean, just go read the manga afterwards. That's fair. It's all available from
Google. That's also fair.
Yeah.
I mean, we all have pretty varying tastes, to be honest. All enjoyed the heck out of it from the sounds of it.
Yeah, I mean, I'd put this like in the same boat as, say, Space Dandy and Assassination Classroom, where like you could show it to most people and they will like thoroughly enjoy it.
I think that's a fair comparison.
Yeah, and it's also more accessible to a wider audience, unlike Space Dandy or S Class, I guess.
Yeah, I'd say, because less weird elements on the surface.
Yeah, like, Space Dandy's awesome and sexy and stuff, but, like, there's random strip malls and stuff.
But also just boobies, boobies, boobies.
You forgot the booty.
There's also, and booty. There's and also booty. Space booty. Dandy himself is basically what you're telling me.
The
here.
Booty baby.
Yes. And it's
like one of classroom the skills. One of the ways I...
Except for, like, all the killing and stuff, I guess, like, some people don't like that.
But like one of the ways I had saw Nichijou when I first watched it is like, wow, this is like Like, what would happen if you took, like, all the humor of, like, Looney Tunes and Tom and Jerry and just made it an anime?
Yeah. So who would be the Bugs Bunny and the Daffy Duck?
That's a good question. I know Yugo's definitely Daffy. I'm not sure exactly who would be the Bugs.
Me neither.
I almost want to say Mai because they have like equal levels of like trolling.
Yeah, I would put Mai up there. I think that's
fair.
I guess that would make Mio kind of... She like depends on the situation because sometimes she's like Yosemite Sam and sometimes she's like Porky Pig.
Yeah. I think, yeah, no, that works.
Who would be Tweety Bird and Sylvester?
I guess we can make Sakamoto Sylvester. Then Hakase Tweety Bird? I don't know.
I guess that could work.
Yeah, actually, that could work, because then you can make Nano the granny.
Oh, yeah,
could. That worked. That actually works really well. Sakamoto, I want to do an experiment. No! You're not doing the experiment.
Oh, my God. But, Kevin, we've had a pretty good discussion, but...
I think so.
Yeah, do we have any final thoughts before we wrap up here?
I hope the next review doesn't take 3 months to actually get reviewed.
I mean, given that I think most of us have seen the next thing we're doing, I think we should be able to do it on schedule.
I think we're good there. I think so.
What are we doing next again? I forget.
It's in the chat. In the pins.
Oh. Oh, are we not going to say for continuity?
It's a surprise. It's a surprise,
and
viewers.
I also don't know what order we'll release these in.
Oh. Which one actually came out recently?
That would have been the ReZero episode.
Oh. So if you are listening to this, ReZero just went up. Figure out what our production order is, folks.
We've dated the podcast. Hooray.
Hooray.
But yeah, I guess we should wrap up here then. So,
okay,
Nisha Joe, it's really good. Go watch it.
11 out of 10, best anime.
Amen.
But now,
it passed the test being entertaining despite having no murder or Ikemen, so, yes.
Gasp. But
I know.
But, Alien, where can people find you on the internet?
Y'all can find me on the Twitter at Alien Renegade. You can find me on the YouTube under Alien Renegade Videos. And you can find my music on every major streaming service. Just search up Amperen. And you might not find me on the podcast for long. I don't know. I'm still trying to figure things out.
I mean, we're... more than apt to have you on whenever, because you are one of our lovely hosts.
I am.
But J-Mac, where can people find you?
Well, you can find me on Twitter at RealJMacAfreak or at IzzyGayDrag. You can find me on Twitch or YouTube at JMacAfreak. Just about everywhere on the internet, I'm just regular old J McAfreak. Only on Twitter am I real J McAfreak. But yeah, don't look for me.
Don't look for those fake J McAfreaks. You need the genuine article.
Yes. Will the real J McAfreak please stand up?
No, because I'm lazy.
Fair answer.
Laser, where can people find you when you're not murdering J Mac?
Well, they can find me on Twitter at LaserKidPrime. And you can find some Toonami-focused articles over on Toonami Faithful. I actually have a new one in the works.
Awesome. And Allison, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at TheOutlineHunter or on Discord. at BF900 with the numbers that I got tricked at. I forget the numbers in their order, but if you ask me if I need a friend on the Twitter, I'll add you on the Discord as well. Lately I've been grinding into video games, so I haven't been doing much, but now I'm back into anime hype because a lot of the fall stuff ended, and now the winter stuff's coming, and I'm just like, there's too many anime, I gotta binge, man. Like, so much. I just finished the Funimation stuff, and yet I still got the Crunchyroll stuff, man. I'm almost done, though. So just follow for updates on that. Also, I've gotten into Toku because I've been watching with friends on other server, and like, oh, there's many hot guys and many shonen punching times. So please talk to me about Toku. Follow me on Twitter. Help me learn about Toku because I am enjoying the content I get from it. They sing really good.
That's awesome. Hopefully, we'll be able to talk about a Toku show on here at some point in the future.
Kamen Rider Zero, please. 01. Reiwa Era. Reiwa Era.
Yeah, definitely follow all four of these people. They're all awesome. And give them some love. But if you're interested in what I'm up to, you can find me on Twitter at VLordGTZ. I am usually on there talking about manga and also not sleeping. But aside from that, you can find my manga and light novel focused reviews over on all-comic.com. And then I also occasionally write Toonami articles and editorials for ToonamiFaithful.com. So check out those as well. But beyond that, I host 3 podcasts, including this one. The first of which is the Demon Slayer podcast, which is on Twitter at DSlayerPodcast. Then there is the Oversoul Shaman King podcast, which is on Twitter at ShamanKingPod. And then, of course, there's this one. But aside from that, I also am occasionally on the Toonami Faithful podcast, which is on Twitter at Toonami Podcast, and also occasionally Manga Mavericks on Twitter at Manga Mavericks. But as far as the Dumb Weaves podcast is concerned, you can find Dumb Weaves on Twitter at Dumb Weaves Pod. And you can find the podcast on basically every platform out there. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Anchor, you name it, we're there. So just go look us up, subscribe, and enjoy our episodes. And yeah, that about does it for this episode. So we will see you guys later.